Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kelly S., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Today is Tuesday, August 20th, 2024, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Vision for You meeting. Today, we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are in More About Alcoholism. We're on page 40, on that second paragraph that says, "Let him tell you about it," through one paragraph ending with "exercising my willpower and keeping on guard," commenting on just that one paragraph. So today's readers will be 12 Steps, Mary F., 12 Traditions, Susan G., Benita L. will be reading our text, Larry K. will be reading page 164, and Colleen M. is hanging out waiting to be our backup reader just in case. So our newcomer greeter is Chris W., and our second hour host is Christine G. The reference number for yesterday's meeting, Monday, August 19th, 2024, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 21667, 21667. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Time is 21668, 21668. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, quote, "Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers," end quote. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So I will now ask Mary F. to read the 12 Steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Hey, Mary.
Good morning, Kelly. This is Mary F. I'm a compulsive overeater from Virginia. Here are the 12 steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcohol, to other food compulsive eaters, and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to give service, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Mary F. And next, Susan G. will read our 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Hey, Susan.
Hey, Kelly. Hey, everybody. This is Susan G., recovered compulsive overeater in Tennessee. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous are, 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, that he may express himself in our group conscience. And our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thanks, Susan G. Okay, so here's how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no absence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what we read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. All right, so today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in More About Alcoholism. We're on page 40, where there in that second paragraph it says, let him tell you about it, through one paragraph ending with, exercising my willpower and keeping on guard. And the comments will just be on that one paragraph. And Benita L. is going to get us started by reading this paragraph. Good morning, Benita. Benita, press star 1.
Okay. Benita L., recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. Let him tell you about it. I was much impressed with what you fellows said about alcoholism, and I frankly didn't believe it would be possible for me to drink again. I rather appreciated your ideas about the subtle insanity which precedes the first drink, but I was confident that it would not happen to me after what I had learned. I reasoned I was not so far advanced as most of you fellows, and I had been unusually successful in licking my other personal problems, and that I would therefore be successful where you then failed. I felt I had every right to be self-confident that it would only be a matter of exercising my willpower and keeping on guard. So when I read this paragraph, when I was doing the steps through the Big Book, my sponsor had me underline all the I's in this paragraph and the rest of Fred's story. And this one paragraph, there's 11 I's, plus, of course, there's also me's. And, you know, I realized that before I got in recovery, like, I was absolutely, totally centered on what I wanted and how I was going to accomplish what I wanted. And praise God for this addiction and other addictions that I've had, because they got me in the 12-step rooms, which taught me that it's we, like I'm totally convinced that I probably would not be here without the 12-step programs. And I did have a sister who committed suicide, so it's not hard for me to believe that I would have had a similar fate. And it's through we, I learned in the 12-step programs to rely on other people, right? To rely on my higher power, to know that other people were there for me when I had to learn to self-regulate, when I needed to like calm down, which I never learned within my family. And so higher power and then people, which to me is higher power with people with skin on it. It's usually if they're in recovery or they're mature enough to be useful. Really relying on us and knowing that we're all in this together and that we're here to help each other. We're here. It's not a self-help program. It drives me crazy when people say 12-step is a self-help program, because to me it's like us relying on God for help and us helping other people. And anyway, so yeah, it's powerful, this story, because Fred obviously's ego needed some more smashing, and mine continues to get smashed, which is what the 12-step programs are designed to do, so that we become more of our true selves, is how I see it. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, Anita L., for getting us started. Okay, so we are now going to open up the meeting for sharing. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day. So that means if you shared last Friday or yesterday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. And please keep your shares 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible. Please give me your first name, initial of your last, and let me know where you're calling from. Go.
Carolyn, hey, Florida.
Tina S.
All I heard was Charles. Got Charles
Bonnie
and Tina. Bonnie.
Chris M.
Dean S.
Adrian N.
Carolyn
Elizabeth
S. H.
G. Elizabeth G.
Chris M.
Okay, hang on. here's who I have. Charles H., Tina S., Bonnie B., Chris M., Adrian, Carolyn S. H., and Elizabeth D. Did I miss anybody who said their name? What? That's crazy. All right. Well, let's get started with that lineup. So everybody, please make sure you're muted with,
You can put Vasa and then, please.
I'll do it, Vasa.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, guys. So let's get started. Please press star one. Make sure you're muted. Let's get started with Mr. Charles H., followed by Tina S. Hey, Charles.
Thank you very much, Kelly, for your service. I really appreciate you. You know, yeah, thanks for that first share. That was powerful. Like, so much self-reliance, right? And when we do a fear inventory, you know, it tells us that self-reliance was not sufficient. It failed us utterly. You know, I did this, I did that. I am so recovered. I can tell you what to do. I have the roadmap. I got the way. And it's just said in a belligerent, nasty, disgusting way. Even if you did have the way, I don't want to follow your yellow brick road, because you're so egotistical. You're so right. And I'm talking to me. And that's why, you know, we is wellness, right? Like I did everything. No, God swooped in when I became desperate. It sounds like all them 11 I's sound like I did all of this. Don't you know I'm so recovered? I have a Superman cape that kryptonite can't touch me. And that is so ridiculous. Really. Like kryptonite can touch me anytime. You know what kryptonite today for me is? Big shotism. Ego. Fear. Dishonesty. Resentment. Those are my kryptonites. Thank God just for today, food is not my kryptonite. But like Fred was so self-sufficient, he thought he threw money at it, it's gonna go away. And we know his story, right? He went to Washington, he had so much money, they probably, if it was me, I would have robbed him. But thank God right? Like, you know, Fred got, you know, he got smashed by self. He got smashed by self-reliance. I did too. Can I tell you to keep it 100 and to keep it tall? I was on the line talking every minute. I know how to be the first one. I could, you know, try to talk to get texts and what a great share. And I was binging all that time. I was binging. But when I STFU and I got serious about this addiction because it's a killing machine, I got better. I got better. I had a second step issue, and I'm a deacon. I had a second. I didn't believe in y'all. I didn't trust myself either. I fake trust myself. But when, you know, I could so relate to Fred, like, I got this. I got a couple of, I got two nickels over rent money, and I'm all that in a bag of chips. And that's all I'm eating is all that and a bag of chips. So I relate with Fred. I'm grateful for his grand finale being the fifth character in More About Alcoholism that really teaches me, you know, and I'll let the cat out the bag, the prelude to the second step. My defense must come from a higher power. Yeah, I'm a shut up now. I figured not sharing all this time, I could take an extra 10 seconds.
Is that it? Well, okay, it's good to hear you. It ended abruptly. Okay, so next up I have Tina S. followed by Miss Bonnie B. Hey, Tina.
Thanks so much, Kelly. Tina S., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic in Florida. Yeah, wow, what a great paragraph, and thanks so much for the shares. I keep shaking my head because I'm in just exactly the right place. And, you know, I was one of those people, you know, I was much impressed with what you fellows said about alcoholism. You know, I was impressed. When I went into treatment, and it was for alcohol and food addiction, both, you know. So by the time I left, I was there 6 weeks, and, you know, I like that the paragraph is I, because I thought I had it, you know, I thought I had it. And, you know, what I know today is that, you know, I don't have a food problem. I have a spiritual problem. You know, lack of power is my dilemma. And, you know, but I got this thing. You know, I went in at a normal weight. You know, I am a compulsive overeater. I've been 30 pounds heavier, 30 pounds lighter, you know, but, you know, I went into this treatment center at a normal weight, you know, and they had a food plan, you know, and we had the big book, we had all these meetings, and I thought, this is wonderful, because I had never in my life eaten three meals a day and felt comfortable within my own skin, you know. So when I was in this treatment center, I was able to eat three meals a day and not gain any weight, and as a matter of fact, I was losing some weight, you know, and that's where my obsession of the mind comes in. So when I left this place, I thought I had this, you know, but I didn't have to follow directions. I had a food plan, but, you know, I could put a little spin on this. So what happened was I continued to lose weight, and I lost like 30 pounds. And so I was very underweight, couldn't think, all that stuff that happens for me when I'm underweight. When I'm overweight, I'm depressed. I'm sitting in my house, closing the shades, not talking to nobody. When I'm underweight, I can't think for my own self. You know, and so today, you know, what I do is I follow directions. You know, I come in here, I have a food plan, I follow a food plan. Most importantly is I have a sponsor and a power greater than myself that I look for direction, you know, and one day at a time, I'm free from this merciless obsession of the mind and the craving of the body, the allergy of the body, you know. As long as I don't put this stuff in my body, I don't crave it, you know. And if I work these steps to the best of my ability on a daily basis, I change so that I don't have that obsession of the mind that keeps me in jail. You know, I'm free today, one day at a time, you know, if I do the work. And, you know, I love that it's, you know, that we talk about, you know, this thing, I don't get by osmosis. I got to get in there and do the work. And I'm going to do that today with y'all. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Well, thanks so much, Tina S. from Florida. Next up, we have Bonnie B. followed by Chris M. Good morning, Bonnie.
Hey, good morning, my friend. Thanks, Kelly, for moderating. And thanks for all the shares. They're beautiful. Bonnie B. from Florida, gratefully recovered for today. where do you start? I mean, you know, paragraph after paragraph, I just sometimes think there's so much to talk about. So this was my story too. I mean, this is what I think is so amazing about this program is I can connect with people that I have never met and will probably maybe never meet and yet instantly get, because this is my story. I had a fair amount of self-knowledge. I came into the rooms. I'm a list girl. I wanted a list. Give me the list. Why? Because if I had the list, I can check the list off and I can say done. Not like God was there, because I had God in the backdrop the whole time, but I still had a list. But this is my disease, and it presents itself on a daily basis. I weigh in a couple of times a month. Weight was the thing for me, the number on the scale. That's why I came in. I came in with a number on the scale. I got to the number on the scale. I had arrived. Hopped on the scale yesterday, and it was 2 pounds up. It would have tilted me. You know, take me back 2 years, I would have immediately gone back into restriction, because that's what I did. That's what my disease tells me to do, because I reasoned. You know, I reasoned. I have these ideas. This is what I know. I know that I know when I finally know that I don't know anything. Like, wrap your head around that one. I know that I know when I finally know that I don't know anything. The reasoning has to leave from me. Left to myself, I say it all the time, I'm toast. I had something happen yesterday. I did some step work on it. I was still restless last night. I generally go to bed very early so I can get up very early. I couldn't sleep. I excused myself, went out, put myself on the vision on the group knees, connected with 5 people. And immediately it was removed from me. Immediately God took it away, because I wasn't focused on me. Now, this is what I know. I have a disease. And I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's my DNA. I was born with this DNA. Page 427, right? If you're an apple, you can be the best apple you can be, but you can never be an orange. It's not a problem. I have a solution. And I've got a whole bunch of people I call friends that I love so very much who help me. Many of them strangers and some that I talk with on a regular basis. And so for that, I am grateful. I'm grateful for Fred and for his story, because his story was my story and continues to be my story if I don't stay connected to my God second by second every day. And with that, I think I'll pass. Thanks again, everyone, and blessings to you all.
Thanks so much, Bonnie B. from Florida. Next up, we have Chris M., followed by Adrian. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. This is Chris M., recovering in New York. What struck out to me or stuck out to me initially was the idea that he was going to reason with the insanity. And, you know, I did that, you know, for, you know, 3 decades in this program. And it's just recently coming to believe and know in the deepest depths of my being that I cannot now. I have not in the past, nor will I ever be able to use my reasoning, my self-confidence, or willpower to manage, control my food, my weight, my obsession, or my difficulties with living. Like, I'm realizing insanity, subtle or glaringly obvious, is no match for my wits or best intentions. I had to come to the end of myself, really, and believing that my solo efforts were effective in overcoming this, like, very invasive and persistent malady that has really truly ruled my mind, body, and soul since I was a very young person. And I can say today with complete assurance that only my continued willingness to find another way and other than my own way and seek recovery through the 12 steps has been the answer for me. When I identified myself out of needing the program by downplaying the depth and strength of my addiction and obsession, I could not recover in any way. But when I truly admitted my powerlessness and felt it to the depth of my soul without giving lip service to it anymore, which is what I did for decades, I was ready to finally become willing to do what recovery in this program requires of me. And to my surprise, and I've heard this from other recovered fellows, that's not me in the background, so I think someone has unmuted. My surprise, and I hear this from like other recovered fellows following and living this steps, is actually turning into a very joyful, rewarding experience. And this is a lesson I learned years ago, which I forget sometimes, that the thing that my intuition tells me I must do is the thing I don't want to do, but it really is the best thing for me to do. And that's been gnawing at me since 1986 when I came in the program and was doing it half measures since then. Like, this is what I need to do. And I have to be a little uncomfortable in following some direction, which my defiant nature does not like and my ego does not like. But yeah, it's been a surprisingly
best
wonderful journey. Thank you so much. Thank you for leading, and God bless everyone today.
Thank you so much, Chris M. from New York. Next up, we have Adrian, followed by Carolyn S.H. Adrian, I didn't get the initial of your last name, and where are you calling from?
Good morning. It's Adrian N. from Florida. I was when the woman was reading this, it was I, and I was thinking, that was me. I came into the program thinking that I'm young, everybody was old, everybody was heavy, and they were asking me what I was doing there, you know, where I thought I was so heavy when I came in. I did it, I guess, to lose weight. I didn't really see that I was one of the group. You know, I always thought myself different. And even to this day, I often think myself differently. But I'm not different. I have this disease, and it'll come out in the weirdest ways, in unexpected, you know, I'm going about my business and all of a sudden I get a smell of something, you know, and oh, that smells good. So I have to be so vigilant about what I eat and you know, what I buy, because for me, if I buy it, it's in the house, it calls my name constantly. Even if it's not my food, it'll just keep bugging me. So, like, I'm the alcoholic that can't have alcohol in the house. I have to live in a clean environment. And, you know, that makes me a compulsive overeater. Because if I have to have a clean environment, I'm not normal. You know, because most people can have stuff in the pantry or the freezer or the refrigerator and not eat it. And yet, you know, like, I might not eat it, but it drives me insane that it's there. So I'm definitely one of you. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Adrian N. from Florida. Next up, we have Carolyn S.H., followed by Elizabeth D. Good morning, Carolyn.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, Kelly. This is Carolyn S.H., recovered in Massachusetts. Excuse my morning voice. I am going to focus on the last sentence. I felt I had every right to be self-confident, that it would be only a matter of exercising my willpower and keeping on guard. And willpower is something that has interested me in just understanding the treatment of it in the big book. And one of the paragraphs, I have a series of paragraphs that jumps throughout the book that I read every morning. And one of them is on the the known and beloved paragraph on page 85 about it is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. And that ends with saying that it's about every day is a day we must carry the vision of God's will in all of our activities. This we can exercise our willpower along this line. All we wish is the proper use of the will. And this is in the chapter of Into Action, which is step 10, and that section. And so by the time we get to step 10, by the time we've done a fearless and moral inventory and have given it to another person and have made our amends, we have a different way of using our will, which is to align it with God's will. And because for me, if I don't have something that I'm told to focus on, that you know, it also says on 86, you know, for God gave us brains to use, that we're allowed to like use our heads and make decisions, but we do it using. I'll speak for myself. I use it using higher power, listening for higher power, asking for guidance. Because for me, if I am not told that there's something I can do with my willpower, if it's not acknowledged that I do have a brain, then I fall back into really bad patterns that I learned in childhood, growing up in a crazy household, where I defer to other people in order to get my way. It's really weird, but when I know that I can stand on my own two feet, me and God, and make decisions, and that's what I can do because I'm not in the food and because I have a relationship with a higher power, and I don't always get it right. In fact, I about 50-50 get it wrong. It's my time, so I'll just finish by saying I also read pages 86, the bottom of 86 to 87 every day, where we learn how to rely on our thinking, which to me is very similar to willpower. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Carolyn S.H. from Massachusetts. And before we go on, let me just remind you guys or let you know where we're at. We are in More About Alcoholism on page 40, second paragraph. Says, let him tell you about it, through that paragraph ending with exercising my willpower and keeping on guard. And we've been commenting on that one paragraph. So moving forward, we are going on with Elizabeth B., followed by Vasa O. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, and thank you for your service. My name is Elizabeth D. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. Love this paragraph, love Fred, and the shares have been very powerful. Hard for me to imagine how I can add much, but I do know that this paragraph shows me some things about myself and about the power of this program, and that is that, you know, this really, for me, a 12-step program is in OA is, it's not a weight reduction program, it's an ego reduction program. I've heard that said, and it's very much true for me. The story of my struggles in relapse over the years have been really about a struggle with my ego. And I love what I've heard this morning about the difference between ego and will. You know, exercising my willpower in accordance with what I believe to be the alignment with God then puts me in a position to do God's will as best that I can know it. And that is really the opposite of ego, although I use my ego as part of my thinking in order to move in that direction. But what is in charge when I am entirely abstinent and when I am seeking to do God's will, then my ego is not in charge. It's used to me in terms of my thinking. But it is not what is driving me and my action. This is very rare for me, but I do the best that I can. And my ego has an uncanny ability to regenerate itself. I've heard that as well. Another thing I've heard is that ego stands for easing God out. So I just want to say that you know, when I decide that, you know, it's okay for me to eat one of my yellow light foods or to take in one of the non-alcoholic beverages that are triggers for me, that's usually when I feel like I'm on top of the world in this program and I love the sound of my own voice. And that's my ego taking over. And, you know, I hope that I'm getting better and better at recognizing when I'm in that space and I can immediately turn to my higher power, who I choose to call God, and ask God to reduce that ego and show me where I can be of service to others. Because my real joy in life, the real pristine, beautiful, freeing joy in my life comes when my ego is in its proper place and I am living by principles and to the best of my ability, I'm connecting with my higher power daily and I'm trying
That's
to
fine, make Elizabeth.
That will, thank you, into alignment with God. And thank you for letting me share in this way. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth D. from Massachusetts. Next up, we have Vasa O., and then we'll be taking more shares. Good morning, Vasa.
Thank you. Kelly, please time me. Thank you, Kelly, for your service, and I'm Vasa, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, calling from Foxborough, Massachusetts. A good reading. I did come in the program October 25th, 1986, and before I came to my first meeting, and I exercised all my willpower, all my strength, how to control the food addiction for many, many, many years, and I failed over and over with everything I tried. And here I come in the program, and I found out I had a disease. I had no clue anything about that was a disease. I had no clue. I had the allergy of the body. I had no clue about any of the stuff. I was at the end. When I came, I was at the end of my life after trying everything in my willpower to control the food addiction. As I said earlier, it's not like I didn't. I tried many, many times. But I could put the food down for a little bit, but I always picked it up. And to find out there was a word for it, I was so relieved and I was so excited that there was a solution for it. And I'm grateful. I'm so grateful I had the food addiction because I would have never, never come to this program or turned to a higher power greater than myself, which I call God. And I love this part. Let him tell you about it. I was ready. I wanted to tell people. I wanted people to tell me what was wrong with me and what I needed to do. I was just so excited, finally. And yes, I was ready. And I was willing to surrender to a power greater than myself, which is God, Jesus, whatever you call it. I don't care what you call it. I was 41 years old when I came to this program, and I didn't think I was going to make my 50th birthday the way I was going. And I did come for the vanity. I remember saying, I will go, I will do this, you know, and then when I lose the weight, I will leave the program. I thank God I stayed for the sanity. I threw myself in the program. I did the first three steps. I can't. He can, and I will. And I didn't understand about why is she giving me this big book? I'm not an alcoholic. Well, I was using those alcoholic foods, putting them in my body without even knowing. So I am a follower of the big book. That's how I started many, many years ago. But to have it every single morning, it's a miracle. And to go a paragraph by paragraph, this book, it's a gift to me. To me, it became like a Bible, you know?
That's time, Vasa.
Thank you very much for letting me share, and God bless, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Vasa O from Massachusetts. All right, so we're going to open again and again. I just want to remind you, if you shared last Friday or yesterday on any vision meeting, please step back for others to have the opportunity and keep your share to 3 minutes. So please give me first name, initial of your last, and where you're calling from.
Anna Lucy from Salem, Mass.
Lucy B.
Florida.
Okay, I didn't get any of that.
Karen K. Lucy
B. Florida.
Anna J.
Somebody from Michigan.
Lisa B.
Michigan. Lisa B. And then was there a Pamela?
Yvette L.
Lucy B. Florida.
Lucy B. All right.
Sue Ellen C. from Massachusetts.
Sue Ellen?
Sue Ellen C. from Massachusetts.
I got you, P.
Yvette L.
All right. Well, let me tell you guys who I have. Let's stop there for a sec. I think this is a lot of jumbling. Lisa B., Karen K., Anna J., Yvette, Lucy B., Sue Ellen, and Pete. Let's just stop there, see how that goes. So if I miss you, I'm sorry. Second hour, you could share. We'd love to hear you on that meeting. So please press star one. Make sure everybody's muted so we'll have a nice, quiet meeting. Let's get started with Lisa B. followed by Karen K. Lisa B., you're up.
Thank you. This is Lisa B. from Michigan. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for your service. The part that jumped out for me, where is it? When he says, I was much impressed with what you fellows said about alcoholism. But I know for me, that's when the BS starts. Either, you know, I'm kidding myself or I'm trying to kid others. And when he said that, it's like, I thought, I'm different. I can do this. I'm not like you. I'm better, stronger willed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's how I felt when I first came into program. It's like, I don't have to do the things that everybody else does because I'm not that bad. And then recently, I had an aha moment. I think God was talking to me and said, you're not that bad yet. But if you keep going in the food, you're going to get there and more. It's my self-centered ego and that wants to be in control and thinks they are in control and that I'm unique and different, and I'm not. And it finally brought me to my senses about I have to surrender to God, to the process, to the steps, and take direction, whether I like it or not. Because when I first came in, and even since then, somebody else had said something about their defiant attitude, and that was me, and sometimes still is. It's like, I don't want to do that. Well, tough cookies, you know. You have to do what you have to do to stay abstinent. And eventually when I had the aha moment, it's like, no, you need to do what they suggest. And since I've been doing that, I've had so much more sanity and peace and serenity, and I'm not spending all my time trying to control everything and thinking endlessly about food and can I eat this and can I eat that and blah, blah, blah. So grateful to be here and grateful for the program, everybody in it, especially my amazing God. Thank you so much. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Lisa B. from Michigan. Next up, we have Karen K. followed by Anna J. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, and thank you for your service, Kelly. My name is Karen K., recovered compulsive eater from Syracuse, New York, and my credits do not transfer. You know, I wish it was about the food. You know, it would be all that simple if it was about a meal plan and food. The directions in the big book and cleaning house and writing down all my fears, all my resentments, and and making them right, and God being in the center of everything. A while ago, a sponsor had me write in my big book, Dear Karen, you're not going to have your way again as long as you live. P.S. If you follow directions in this book, you will thank me day at a time. And I was so vulnerable, and she had me write and the date on it. It says, you'll never have to compulsively eat over again. And I believed it because God was in the center of it. This big book is what keeps me sober. Sponsoring people is what keeps me sober. I know it's a little, for me, it's not about the food. Because if it was about the food, I would just get a meal plan and go, and I would be on my way. I needed to have that psychic change. I needed to listen to what this book is trying to tell me to do. I could be so rigid that every item on what I put in my body is an alcoholic ingredient. I'll become a slave again to the food if I look at, I focus on that too much. I don't want to be a slave to the food anymore. I would rather, you know, learn what's in this big book and help another person. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Karen K. from New York. Next up, we have Anna J. followed by Yvette. Good morning, Anna.
Hi, this is Anna J. from New York, a compulsive overeater. I just want to thank, it's just so lovely to be on this line and hear what strong recovery. I'm coming back, and this paragraph, it's got so many things in it that really helped me. As other folks have said, you know, a case of the I, me, my's, and, you know, circling those was really powerful. My favorite part in here actually is the word guard, and that last part, you know, if only, you know, if I just exercise that willpower and I keep on guard. And someone the other day pointed out that, you know, security guards and human guards, they need breaks, you know, and that really feels true for me, because that sense of, you know, I got this, or I'm, you know, whatever it is, as somebody else said, that when we know that I don't got this is when we have a chance. And, you know, as we'll see in the next few days, that we see what happens when he's off guard in the next page. Another, just a couple things that, you know, right now I'm doing a really wonderful deep dive into step 6 and 7 with a new sponsor. And, you know, just this idea of really, really, it's almost like I'm thinking that show with, you know, Marie Kondo, where you take all the stuff in your house and you sort of take a minute to thank it, you know, thank you for this shirt or whatever it is. And I thought to myself, these words here, you know, I was confident, I reasoned, I learned, I was successful. All of these things are here. And it's like, you know, thank you, reasoning. You really helped me here. Thank you, learning. But ultimately, you know, these things that have helped me keep on guard are what are keeping me from becoming recovered. And that's the bottom line. And that's why I'm here. And I'm not, it sounds like it's almost like he's auditing a class. I rather appreciated your talk on this, but I can't audit this class. I'm going to die. So I'm here and participating in my recovery today. Thank you so much for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Anna J., for participating. Good to hear you. She's from New York. Next up, we have Yvette, followed by Lucy B. Yvette, I didn't get the initial of your last name and where you're calling from.
Okay, my name's Yvette L., and I am recovered only by God's grace and mercy, and I live in Connecticut. And as I was listening to the paragraph, you know, that was me. You know, I felt I wasn't that bad, so, and I'm not even sure it was on a conscious level, but I'm not that bad, so that means I don't have to do everything that is suggested. You know, what I've learned Gratefully, I never stopped coming since my first meeting back in 1992. Was that after I, you know, got back into a dark place of, you know, binging and isolating myself and wanting to die, which is how I walked into these rooms. And I accepted that, you know, whatever I thought I knew about recovery, it wasn't working because what my experience was showing me. And as I became willing to follow the instructions, which I honestly, I didn't even know what the instructions were, you know, when I was guided through the big book, it's like, oh, this is what I got to do. And it is really clear, but it is, you know, it's not easy and it's not comfortable. But if I want the result of a spiritual awakening, then I do have to do the work. And it is only by God's grace and mercy that, you know, I'm recovered today. You know, I didn't do that. God does that for me, that power greater than myself, that sees me through any problem that I have. You know, this month is, you know, been pretty challenging with, you know, a surgery and, you know, driving to see my mom who was in the hospital. And through it all, God's grace and mercy has been with me. And it's only by God's grace that I'm abstinent and just grateful for my life today. I never thought I'd feel grateful for my own life, but I do as a result of doing this work day after day. And do I do it perfectly? Absolutely not. But I do the best that I can. So thanks so much for this meeting, and thanks for letting me share. And I'll pass with that.
Well, thank you so much, Yvette L. from Connecticut. And next up, we have Lucy B., followed by Sue Ellen. Hey, Lucy.
Good morning. I'm Lucy B. from Florida, recovering compulsive overeater. I can so relate to Fred. You know, in earlier paragraphs, Fred, the shame, the depression he describes. And he was a person who successfully used his self-will on other problems in his life. I can relate to that, too. In this paragraph, his compulsive self-reliance, you know, all the I's that were pointed out and the me's, you know, that compulsive self-reliance, that self-confidence, that, as he said, it would only be a matter of exercising my willpower and keeping on guard. You know, and I get it, because for Fred, that had worked in the past on other problems. You know, I'm so grateful today that I know I can't do it alone, you know, and that I find joy in the fact that recovery from this disease binds me to others, that I've learned I can't do it alone. I'm grateful to have Fred's story to remind me of where I was and where I am, that I don't even want to do it alone anymore. And very grateful for that. So thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Well, thanks so much, Lucy B. from Florida. And we only have time for Sue Ellen P. We're going to have to save you for another time. All right, Sue Ellen, what's the initial of your last name? Where are you calling?
Sue Ellen. Hi, thank you. Sue Ellen C. from Massachusetts. And it was great to hear everyone's shares today. And I so relate to this paragraph also, thinking that if I understood the disease, I wouldn't have to do other things. Like, it can't happen to me knowing this. Even though I could say self-knowledge avails us nothing, I still thought, knowing what I know, I won't eat again. But the insanity that precedes the first drink, first bite, is so prevalent. But not wanting to do anything else. But when I stopped drinking, which wasn't my first, you know, food is my first and major issue. But when I stopped drinking, it was self-knowledge. I knew I could never drink again without getting drunk, and I didn't want that to happen, so it stopped. I went to meetings. I would share at meetings, but that was it. And I wanted it to be that way for food. I wanted to just do what I felt like doing and not other things, because it just seems too difficult. But I understand that that's not the way this disease works. So anyway, it's good to hear everyone, and that's it for me. Thank you. I pass.
Well, dang. Pete, do you want to share for a minute or so?
Sure, Kelly. I'll take the last minute. My name's Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy. You know, if you asked me to tell you what happened to me, what other word other than I could I use to describe what happened? I don't understand how the multiple uses of I is an indicator of somebody having a problem with ego. Because Jim's problem, it's not up to me to assess it anyway, but Jim's problem is not a problem with ego. Jim has alcoholism, right? He suffers from delusions, illusions, and self-deceit, right? Ego is not the problem. We don't seek to have ego removed. We seek to have egoism removed. The word ego is not even in the big book. It's egocentricity and egoism, right? So we have to remember what Jim is dealing with is what I deal with. Alcoholism. I'm deceived. I think that somehow, some way, I'm going to be able to outthink, outsmart, or outwork this condition. Right? So, you know, it's
that
very simple to stand. Thank you, I'll pass.
That 1 minute goes fast. Well, 3 minutes goes fast when I'm the one talking, that's for sure. All right, well, thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, in case you want to hear it again, Tuesday, August 20th, 2024. Good Lord, I don't know what day it is. 21670. So we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Colleen M. was our backup, and she is stepping up to read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Hey, Colleen.
Hey, Kelly. Thank you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge this road of happy destiny. May God bless you.